Need for emergency preparedness. A healthcare facility's need for preparedness for such events as hurricanes, earthquakes, fires, infectious disease outbreaks, bioterrorism, chemical emergencies, or other types of disasters mandates a comprehensive emergency preparedness plan. Disasters, both natural and human-made, disproportionately impact patients who have limited mobility, frailty, decreased sensation, or possible cognitive impairment. The facility administrator, safety officer, emergency manager, or other designee should develop an emergency operations plan, EOP, that provides for the safety and protection of patients, HCP, and visitors in cases of both internal and external emergencies. This plan should be coordinated with regional and local departments of public health, the local Office of Emergency Management, and local fire and other emergency response agencies. Procedures should be developed to ensure that all patients and staff are properly informed about the nature of the emergency, the facility's response, and the action required. The EOP should include special measures for those who have physical or other impairments. National requirements typically mandate that facilities have detailed written plans and procedures to meet all potential emergencies and disasters, including fires, severe weather, and missing patients. All HCP must be trained in emergency procedures when they begin to work in the facility. In addition, facilities must periodically review the procedures with existing staff and carry out unannounced staff drills using those procedures. Nations and regions often have specific emergency preparedness requirements, and large insurance payers may set similar conditions for participating providers and certified suppliers. Such requirements mandate planning adequately for both natural and human-caused disasters and coordinating with national, regional, tribal, and local emergency preparedness systems. The requirements tend to focus on elements necessary for maintaining access to healthcare during disasters or emergencies, including safeguarding human resources, maintaining business continuity, protecting physical resources, need for infection preventionists and emergency preparedness. The unique skill set of IPs enables them to better prepare for and respond to different types of mass casualty incidents. As experts in the fields of surveillance and epidemiology, IPs are responsible for investigating outbreaks and initiating interventions to prevent the transmission of infections. Because the infectious disease impact of a mass casualty incident will vary depending on the nature of the event, IPs must be familiar with the consequences of different types of disasters and mass casualty incidents. Key point: while interventions will vary with different types of disasters, the general principles of surveillance and epidemiology remain the same. Most infection preventionists will act as a consultant to the Hospital Emergency Management Planning Committee and will be responsible for assessing the EOP in regard to preventing infection transmission during emergency situations. IPC should be involved in assessing the risk and developing the emergency operations plan as well as all other aspects of preparedness. In many jurisdictions, the facility and community-based risk assessments must use an all-hazards approach to evaluate the facility's ability to maintain continuity of operations and secure required supplies and resources during an emergency or natural disaster. An all-hazards approach is an integrated emergency preparedness approach that builds capabilities and capacities to address the full spectrum of risks or disasters. Such an approach focuses on response capacities and mitigation efforts, which is what enables a facility to be prepared for any type of hazard. The hazard vulnerability assessment should include aspects of hospital readiness that relate to infection prevention. The IP may have the following roles in disaster preparedness: to participate in disaster planning, response, and recovery planning and training, to develop alternate policies related to IPC during an emergency event. These may include screening and triage protocols, outbreak investigation, surge capacity for airborne infectious disease containment, and alternate means of hand hygiene in disasters, among others. To create a surveillance program to ensure that appropriate indicators are used to control infectious disease occurrences. IPs also conduct surveillance to monitor and track patients' conditions to prevent the spread of infectious diseases. To assess readiness and develop emergency management plans to mitigate potential mass casualties due to transmission of infection and to manage patient surge. To control the impact of infectious disease casualties in the event of a disaster, such as by ensuring that isolation precautions, when indicated, are instituted. To be prepared to make crisis standard of care decisions, for example, allocating limited or scarce resources where they will be most effective. to be prepared to guide, manage, and supervise responders during a disaster. IPs must be knowledgeable of emergency management procedures and policies and familiar with the potential consequences of different kinds of emergencies. To have protocols in place for triage to minimize the risk of disease transmission during surges of injured or infected individuals. To manage the physical environment, example, monitor personal protective equipment and other supplies, verify proper management of trash and medical waste, and assess potable water status, environmental contamination, and the potential risks of higher levels of bioburden resulting from a shortage of available environmental services staff. To educate and train critical HCP and potential respondents on IPC strategies. This is one of the IP's primary roles, as they may function as SMEs for infectious disease, depending on the characteristics of the facility. To report updates internally and externally, example, public health, emergency management government agencies, fire department, local emergency operations center. In some cases, this means fulfilling the role of liaison to reportable organizations. Historically, the role of the IP in emergency management has centered more on disaster response than on mitigation, planning, or disaster recovery. This is primarily because most disasters, such as famine or earthquakes, do not involve a communicable disease component or have a large infectious disease impact. As a result of the increased threat of a biological event, bioterrorism, outbreak of an emerging infectious disease, or pandemic, a shift has occurred in emergency management. IPC and epidemiology are being seen as more critical components of emergency management. The role of IPs has broadened to include mass casualty event preparedness responsibilities in addition to response duties. A facility-wide all-hazard risk assessment, sometimes called a hazard vulnerability assessment, should be performed annually. The infection prevention and control component of the analysis should include pandemic preparedness assessments, community-wide, facility-wide, and other risk assessments. A healthcare facility may be required to address or include a facility-based risk assessment, sometimes called a hazard vulnerability analysis, HVA. This type of assessment, together with a corresponding public health assessment at the community level, may be required to use an all-hazards approach. The IP may participate in an HVA. Since this risk assessment looks at many things not directly related to IPC, such as fires, hurricanes, and so on, the IP's role may be focused on conducting the IPC risk assessment component of the HVA and to considering IPC risks as they relate to other hazards. For example, food spoilage during an extended power outage, water quality after a hurricane. One example of an all-hazards facility assessment tool is from the Quality Improvement Organization, QIO, a CMS program. The purpose of the QIO facility assessment tool is to help the facility to evaluate its patient population and identify the resources needed to provide the necessary person-centered care and services the patients require. The community-wide assessment is an important HVA input. Community-based risk assessments are typically comprised of the following reviews in relation to their IPC component: risk of infections, including EMD or OS, prevalence of communicable diseases such as TB, influenza, or COVID-19, review rate of TB screening against related national or regional requirements, stratification of risks for prioritization, placement of information in context, using comparative data when available,